Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So they're bringing AOC to Missoula, Montana, coming up on the 16th. That's less than a week away. AOC, why are you bringing AOC to Missoula? AOC is old news. I mean, if you guys really want to be hip with the purple-haired Antifa, don't know what gender they are, you know, crazy far-left carnival crowd, if you really want to be cool with that crowd, you got to get in somebody like Jasmine Crockett. Have you guys heard of Jasmine Crockett before? She doesn't normally talk like this, but the rich girl is putting on a nice show. Oh, now it won't play the clip for me. Here we go. This was Jasmine Crockett recently talking about illegal aliens.
The fact is, ain't none of y'all trying to go and farm right now. Okay, so I'm lying. Raise your hands. You not. We done picking cotton. We are. You can't pay us enough to find a plantation.
How about this new one they have? Their new star, Crockett. How about her? If that's their new star, they're in serious trouble.
Okay, so what do you think about...
There you go. That was President Trump talking about this Texas Congresswoman, Jasmine Crockett, putting on a nice show there. She does that all the time. Now, if you watch videos of her when she was first running for Congress, she never talked like that. She's just putting on this show, trying to look like she's tough, trying to look like she's working class, coming from the hood or something like that. She went to a private school that costs thousands and thousands of dollars every single year. But now she's got to put on a show. But she is their rising star. So, yeah, if you guys haven't heard the news, I put this on our Montana Talks website last night. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is joining her fellow socialist Bernie Sanders, Senator Bernie Sanders, in Missoula coming up on April 16th. So if the carnival of crazy that took place in Helena and Missoula and Bozeman and elsewhere last weekend wasn't crazy enough for you, here they come. But man, KPAX TV shared the news last night, and they just had some of the most hilarious comments ever. My favorite, and these were replies on a Missoula TV station website. Alyssa Wanders titled the rally with Bernie and AOC, "Lifestyles of the Rich and Socialist." And then a guy named Anthony says, "Okay, a bunch of rich people telling you to not trust rich people." Jay Shepard says, "They are both members of the hard left party, and they have gotten rich on us." Robin Barker had another great one. "I thought Missoula said no more circus could be in town." Debbie MacArthur says, "Bernie and AOC in Missoula, the oligarchs fighting the oligarchy. Make it make sense." Full story, MontanaTalks.com. We'll get into your phone calls right after this. Mark in Paradise Valley, first up, right after this. 294-0970, the number for you.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, it's crazy what Jasmine Crockett just said. If you think about what prompted those remarks, she's basically saying, "Don't nobody want a farm? We don't want a farm." She's basically saying, "Yeah, we need all the illegal aliens to come into this country so they can do the farming for us." Wow. It reminds me, like, you'd see some of these comments from some of the big sky liberals. "Well, if we deport these illegal aliens, who's going to shovel the snow?" Well, go buy a shovel, man, or pay for a service. I mean, give me a break. But that's how these guys think. I mean, Plus, how ironic is it that the Democrat Party was the party of slavery? The Democrat Party was the party of sharecropping. The Democrat Party was the party of Jim Crow. The Democrat Party is the party of modern day sharecropping, which is the welfare state. And here they are openly talking about needing servants to come into this country to work with hardly any wages at all. I mean, openly basically saying they want slave labor. I mean, it is just crazy. Let's go to Mark in the Paradise Valley. Mark, what's your thoughts? Good to hear from you.
So Jasmine Crockett has recently, within the last year, purchased a $5 million property in the Texas Hill Country, and she's also purchased a $1.5 million condo in Austin, Texas, and she makes $174,000 salary. What's wrong with that picture? So they're complaining about individuals that make money on the free enterprise system, like Elon Musk and Trump, and you have bankers that will do business with him because they make money by funding transactions with them. But you have the oligarchs of the Democratic Party that are making their money off of us, the taxpayers.
Yeah.
BS.
Lifestyles of the rich and
needs to stop it.
Lifestyles of the rich and socialists. Yeah, Bernie Sanders. How did this guy get multiple homes? He's got more than one mansion. He's worth millions. AOC. She was a bartender before she got elected to Congress. And now, while that $170,000 salary is a very good salary compared to most of us Americans, that still shouldn't be bringing in millions. So how is that happening? I'm really glad Elon Musk said that Doge's next target is going to be these curiously rich members of Congress.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Mark. Hey, by the way, Mark, you're in some beautiful farm and ranch country there in Paradise Valley. Do any of your farmer rancher friends, do they want to be farming? Do they want to be ranching?
Well, you know, I do agriculture, and I'm an aerial applicator with a GPS guided drone, and yeah, we do.
And we love it.
We're very bullish on agri-science.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was just in Plentywood at the Farm Expo, and, you know, imagine Jasmine Crockett showing up at the Farm Expo. Don't nobody in here want a farm? You don't want a farm? They're like, we're at the Farm Expo because we actually love farming, and we love to talk about it. You know, it's
one of my best buddies has just retired, and his 30-year-old son has taken up the ranch.
That's great to hear. That's why when I see these headlines with this liberal federal judge ruling against the ranchers in the Paradise Valley and on behalf of these radical environmental groups, it's like we have just got to see a turnover in these left-wing federal judges. And then I know we'll get some much better ones with Tim Sheehy and Steve Daines in the Senate now. Mark, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call. Greatly appreciated. 294-0970, the number for you. Although normally we would have our legislative update right now, but Senate President Matt Regeer is in the middle of running a marathon floor session today because they've got a lot of work to do. So he's not able to join us today. Same thing going on the House side, or we would have gotten Speaker Lear to join us. Democrat House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin, I think he's still able to join us here in just a few minutes as well. Meantime, let's go to Perry in Columbus. Perry, good to hear from you.
Good morning, Aaron. You know, I can't help but mention the master class President Trump just taught to the media screechers of the bat crap crazy left. You know, to isolate communist China for their predatory trade practices and leverage the rest of the world to finally play fair with us on trade and tariffs at the same time is huge foreign policy victory. The next step for this republic is to restore our self-sufficiency in energy, mining and smelting and manufacturing, lumber and food crops and livestock, electronics and advanced technology, rare earth minerals. I could go on and on. But the point is that this is a legitimate national security crisis. We have enemies that want to see this nation destroyed, and a scary number of them actually live here. The environmental wacko lawsuit factories and the libtard judges that indulge them must be overcome. Let's think about the vibrant, prosperous country you could help leave for your children and grandkids when we succeed. And yes, think hard about the consequences of allowing the authoritarian left to dictate what kind of nation and world we leave to the future generations.
Well said, as always, Perry in Columbus. Thanks for calling in. Hey, Perry, what did you? We got 20 seconds before the break. What did you think of Chris Matthews? We can't get wood in America. We need lumber from Canada.
Well, he was who I was thinking about when I said media screechers.
Yes.
That's crazy, too.
Oh, yeah. It's just, I thought they kicked him off of MSNBC. Was the Biden inflation that bad to where even Chris Matthews had to come out of retirement to pay the bills? Instead of the tingling up his leg, he's got, he's wetting his pants and something else is going down his leg.
Montana Talks. Will you get the mic? Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, most every Thursday now during Montana's legislative session, of course, we've been doing our legislative update, and we kick it off with Republican Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell, but he's in the middle of overseeing and running what has been described as a marathon floor session today. And then Republican Speaker of the House Brandon Lear running a similar marathon session, as I understand it, on the House side today as well. So that's why we didn't have President Regeer with us here for the opening segment. But we do still have Democrat House Minority Whip Representative Jonathan Carlin out of Missoula joining us for his weekly update. So, Representative Carlin, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Aaron, thanks for having me. Yeah, I just stepped off the House floor because, as you mentioned, we are, I have about 60 bills that we're debating today. So it is a busy day in the House.
Wow. It's kind of like the Missoula's used to a marathon. So this is your Missoula marathon today. Give us a range of just some of the bills that are up for debate and consideration today.
Yeah, it is quite literally everything from, regulating products that contain hemp to e-verify on immigration. We have some bills related to the judiciary, huge some child protection bills. One thing is missing from this list, though, and that is property tax relief. And so I would say that while all this is going on, one of the things that I am working on, and, with folks across the aisle, too, is, we got to get property tax done because we're getting down to the wire.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was almost going to start there. One of the most concerning headlines I saw was earlier this week out of the Lee newspapers, a piece by Victoria Evis here. It says, no clear path forward for property tax relief in the final days of the legislative session. We've only got about 3 weeks or so left here. And, 3 weeks ago, it seemed like there was this consensus, Republicans, Democrats, the governor. It seemed like everybody kind of at least agreed overall on some sort of a homestead exemption.
Yeah.
And then all that got blown up somehow. Boy, everybody better figure out a way to come together, huh?
Yeah, I actually shared that article you mentioned on my social media and was trying to tell constituents. I know it seems gloomy, but we're still trying to work on this. I mean, I think we're all, I don't say all, but, I think we know the answer to this is not that hard. Cut the rate and give a tax credit. I think the problem is that, you have some people that want rebates, you have some people that don't want to, that are afraid to cut the rate too much because it shifts onto the other classes. So it's one of those devil in the detail problems. But I know that we're working on modeling out some different scenarios and things like that so that we can try to see, how low can we get the rate without causing major problems. So we're trying to find that middle ground there. And the way I see it is, this is just, even if the solution's not perfect, we need to do something that's going to deliver the most relief to the middle class.
Well, and heck, I was talking off air with my friend David Noble earlier this morning. He's a conservative Twitch streamer and commentator, and we were both talking. We both agree, it's a Republican majority in the legislature right now. If they, obviously last session they delivered property tax rebate checks, But obviously, we need long-term reductions. I mean, the rebates are great, but we need long-term reductions. And if the Republicans end this session and do not deliver significant property tax relief, they are giving you and your fellow Democrats a massive opening next year, if you ask me.
You know, and I've heard folks talk about that, and I truly don't even like viewing this from the political lens. Because, you know, when I knock doors, it's not a Democrat or a Republican thing. I mean, there's seniors in a fixed income who feel like they can't afford to live in our house. So the way I see it is, like, I truly don't. Democrats and Republicans get the same property tax bill. And so it's my hope that, you know, and I think we've done a good job of putting aside the politics and just trying to look at the numbers and do what's right. And it's hard because I also recognize, you know, part of the issue is even Billings, in your neck of the woods, Billings, city charter, without getting into the weeds, levies, things in dollars, not mills, or maybe I'm saying it the other way around. But there's so many local considerations, too, that I think a lot of legislators, sometimes it's hard to combine what's in the best interest for all of our individual constituencies and the entire state.
Yeah, you're right. We could quickly get into the weeds with the Billings example, for one. Let me just say, I was hoping to get this city council member on the show today, but I think I'll get the council member on tomorrow. What I would say, you know, to you and to the Republican lawmakers is I think the city of Billings is not giving you accurate information. They're threatening that if this property tax relief goes through, they're going to have to cut $7 million from public safety. From what I'm hearing, no way does that need to happen. They can find the room. They're doing property reevaluations this year. They're going to get significant more revenue later this year just from the appraisals going up in the first place. So don't let Billings be the hostage negotiator trying to block property tax relief. That's the message I'm hearing. Anyway,
yeah, and I think that both on both Democrat and Republican bills have an amendment to sort of temporarily fix the Billings issue by essentially almost reaching into the Billings city charter. Again, I've not been super involved in the Billings discussions, but just an example of how I think there is good faith on all sides. But, you know, I don't blame Billings legislators for trying to, you know, make sure that Billings is okay. And then we've got some of these eastern Montana counties where they haven't seen the big increase in residential value. They have a lot of industrial property, pipelines, things of that nature. So I think we're getting there. I'm optimistic that we can get to something good.
Yeah, well, and sometimes, too, I wonder if a deadline, you know, because a lot of people are frustrated out there, like, you know, from the conservative side, they're sitting back saying, okay, no judicial reform. Well, there was one measure, at least, that got across the finish line. No significant income tax relief yet, no significant property tax relief yet. So they're sitting there saying, what the heck, guys? You don't have a lot of time left. But I don't know about you, but when I was in college, I had to have the deadline to get my paper finally written. I hope that's what's happening with the legislative session, but the deadline will force some final decisions on some of this stuff.
It will. We have a deadline coming up. There's lots of sort of mini deadlines when it comes to bills with amendments. So like some of the House property tax bills, they're sitting in Senate committee. If by the middle of next week, those don't come back to the House, or by the end of next week, we might have to get into starting to find new vehicles and for relief. And so it gets really complicated. So I agree. I think that I'm hoping this deadline starts really turning up the heat.
Or is there concern that the legislature may just decide to just take a break, punt for a little while, and then come back during a special session further down the road?
I really hope not. I mean, we have a bill today about chemtrails, like, you know, the from airplanes in the sky. Like, if we've got time to debate these bills on the House floor, there's no need to come back into special session. I think that, you know, when there's a will, there's a way, and we got to get this done.
Yeah, it would seem, because otherwise so they come back at a later date, it might cost even more money, and then do the fractions still remain? And then if this deadline didn't force people to come together on property tax relief, how is the next one going to be able to force that across the finish line as well? When you were describing some of the marathon votes that you're taking part in here today, 60-some bills, you mentioned hemp. I know hemp is... you know, different than marijuana. Is there anything concerning the regulation of marijuana products in terms? Because I know one thing that I think you and I might have talked about before was some of these synthetic marijuana products in particular. It sounds like there might be room for bipartisan agreement on at least kind of lowering the THC or regulating the THC content in some of these synthetics in particular that have high or no limits whatsoever.
Yeah, we passed a bill on bipartisan basis. I don't know where its status is in the Senate, but I think it's been moving along well. It basically updates the list of synthetics because, you know, part of it is it's like even in the last 2 years since the last session, there's all sorts of new derivatives of these dangerous synthetics. And so I think that's something that will make a difference in allowing law enforcement to crack down. You know, one big piece of marijuana policy, I think that's been held up in appropriations, but don't quote me on that, is it's called, they're calling it like kind of a freeze the footprint, fairly controversial among both parties, but basically saying no more dispensaries. The current dispensary, the numbers say they can change owners, but we can't add new ones in the state, essentially. And so there's been some mixed feelings on that. I know overall folks in Missoula like that because we've got a lot of dispensaries per capita. And so I did vote for that bill, but that's been somewhat controversial.
Very interesting. Hey, I saw AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Bernie Sanders are going to be in Missoula. What, next week? Are you going to make it to the big event?
You know, Aaron, I think I might be busy during that one. You know, the way I see it is I know a lot of folks are really excited about it. And I think the way I see it is I think it's great when different political speakers come right or left because people get to, you know, learn, hear from folks, make determinations on their own. I will say, for speaking to folks at the federal level, I was sitting through a House Tax Committee, a revenue projection for the state. And what's happening at the federal level is really scary in terms of when we're trying to make, like, financial decisions for the future of our state. And so, you know, if we're going to have federal officials come, I hope that some of our congressional delegation talk to us about what's going on at the federal level and how it's going to impact Montana.
Well, I hope Jasmine Crockett would come, too. Man, in fact, I might even just go there for the event just to go say what's up to Jasmine Crockett. That would be a ton of fun, too. AOC's kind of old news now. You know, it's like Bernie, definitely old news. You know, take the mittens, man. We get it, you know. But,
well, I mean, I'd be thrilled for Tim Sheehy to talk about how tariffs are going to impact ag, you know. So I do hope we see more federal folks coming, but I hope that there are federal delegation.
60 to 70 countries now coming to Donald Trump saying, hey, let's make a deal. We'll look to lower these tariffs against America. Do you see that as good news?
Oh, I think that's great news that countries are coming to the table. What I wish we had more of is stability because, I mean, I've got constituents where they see, you know, what's happening with their 401ks and are really, really concerned. And so what I wish we could do a better job of is being able to have communication from our federal delegation, both to us as, you know, lawmakers, but also just to Montanans in general.
All right. Representative Jonathan Carlin, I got to hold it there. I got a hard break. Thanks for your time.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, President Donald Trump paused most tariffs for 90 days, excluding China, whose tariffs were raised to 125%. The move appeared aimed at refocusing the trade war solely on China. Agriculture groups are closely watching the tariff situation. Cam Quarles is CEO of the National Potato Council.
You know, when the president's initial announcement came out, we went through it line by line. We did not have the level of freak out that you're going to find with some of the more politically minded folks who show up on the 24-hour news cycle that ill serves growers, and we're not going to do something like that. By the same token, you know, we want to make it very clear that this industry thrives on vibrant international markets, and we want to keep them vibrant. We want to reduce the friction in accessing valuable customers around the world because it can have an immediate and dramatic effect both positively and negatively for growers. And we want to avoid the negative at all costs.
With 20% of all U.S. potatoes exported, the National Potato Council warns new tariffs could disrupt trade and raise input costs, but are hopeful the trade and tariff situations can be resolved soon. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana.
tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This would probably be a question for the 90s kids out there, or maybe you were parents of a 90s kid or grandparents of a 90s kid. Did you ever watch the cartoon Ren and Stimpy? Any of you familiar with that cartoon Ren and Stimpy? I didn't really watch it, but I'm familiar with it, right? So I didn't think of this reference. Thankfully, one of our friends on X shared it with me. But they said, man, Chris Matthews, when he was talking about, well, we can't make more wood in America. We need the wood to come from Canada. But our paper for our newspapers, our paper for our liberal newspapers comes from Canada. Yeah, it used to come from America, Chris, until your liberal newspapers cheered on these left-wing federal judges who shut down the timber industry in America. And yeah, we can make wood in America. But anyway, all this talk about logs and logging, one of my friends on X sent me a message earlier this morning. They said, you know, when I heard Chris Matthews make these absurd comments about timber and wood, all I could think of was this.
Jumping up and down like idiots, because look what's new from Log this time. It's all new Action Log with realistic facial moss. And you can dress new Action Log for adventure with these great new action outfits.
Anyway, oh wait, let's play more. Let's play a little more. Oh, yeah, okay. I thought I was going to go back to the log, the something song there. But yeah, hey, kids, jump around like idiots. Or, you know, in other words, jump around like Chris Matthews.
We get so much of our lumber, our 2x4s, from Canada. That's where we get it from. Canada. We get our newsprint from up there for newspapers. The fact is, we get it. What are we going to do? Have more lumber made in the United States now? What is our plan now? Oh, we're not going to import wood, so we're going to make more wood? We're going to create more wood? Is that it? I don't think we are in a position to simply replicate the imports coming into this country with our own products. It can't always be done. And I think wood's an example of that. Wood. Are we going to make more wood in this country because of our trade deal? I don't think so.
Yes, we will. Yes, we should. Let's make our timber industry great again. I have been saying that for how long now? What are we going to do? Make wood in America? Yeah, that's exactly the freaking point there, Chris Matthews. There's a whole lot of things we need to start making and mining in America once again. Let's see. Where do we go next? Phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Not only do we want to make our timber industry great again, but we want to make mining in America great again. And we want to hold on to what we got. Just got this news in my inbox yesterday afternoon. Montana Senator Steve Daines announced that his bill to keep the Bull Mountains mine open, that's the mine south of Roundup, that bill passed the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee with bipartisan support on Wednesday. This is Senate Bill 362. He introduced it in early March. It allows specific sections of federal minerals to be mined in order for the Bull Mountains mine to keep operating. And so anyway, great news because, yeah, that mine, it's so important that we keep that mine up and running. And by the way, I think that this bill and efforts like it are so important because, okay, look, we got President Donald Trump for 4 years. Just this week, he announced major news supporting Montana coal, supporting Wyoming coal, that beautiful, clean Powder River Basin coal. Now, Biden and Tester, they allowed this coal moratorium to take place. And so if they would have stayed in power, that mine likely would have shut down because it would have lost access to federal coal. Well, now Trump's in office, so you might say, oh, well, he'll give them access to federal coal. Yeah, But what about 4 years from now? We can't take that for granted. We don't know what might happen 4 years from now. Or what if some little liberal judge says, nah, we're not going to allow that to happen. And so that's why this Crow Revenue Act is so important, because the Crow tribe would benefit from it. The mine would benefit from it. They would then have access to coal on private land instead of federal land that could so easily be shut down by, you know, a potential next administration, et cetera. But here is Senator Steve Daines talking about that very bill that passed the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee yesterday.
Chairman, thank you. I want to thank my colleagues on both sides of the aisle. This is a bill that we passed in a bipartisan way last year to save the Bull Mountains mine. We've had some discussions to add a formal sunset to this bill that complements the on-the-ground reality of the mining process. It's simply a short-term fix that gives us time to get a long-term solution enacted. It allows the mine to continue producing the same coal they've had for over a decade under a mine plan that's been in effect for years. I ask my colleagues to support Montana mining families and get this bill to the president's desk as soon as possible. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
By the way, he referenced a short-term fix there. Let's take that back to the earlier conversation with Democrat Representative Jonathan Carlin about property tax relief. And I'm glad he brought up the city of Billings as an example. So what the city of Billings is threatening, and that's what it is. It is a threat. They are threatening the state lawmakers in Helena, saying, well, if you guys pass property tax relief, we're going to lose $7 million because when you lower their property taxes, you lower our revenue. Even though the city of Billings has gotten a whole boatload of more revenue, and they're going to get more revenue even later this year because of our stupid property tax system that bases property tax rates based off of the value of the home. So the values keep going up, you keep paying more, which means they keep getting more. But that's not enough. So the city of Billings is saying, well, we're going to lose $7 million if this property tax goes through. First off, they can figure it out. Second off, they're going to get more revenue later this year anyway, as I understand it. So they can make it. But they're out there threatening the legislatures, saying, oh, well, we're gonna fire all these police officers and firefighters. Oh, for Pete's sake. You know, it's always public safety last with some of these big government liberals, right? Public safety should be first. But here's the other thing. Representative Carlin mentioned how they're looking at a short-term fix, and he's from Missoula, not Billings, so he was right to, you know, not get too much into the details on that one. But as I understand it, and I'll see if we get this guest on maybe tomorrow, they can have a short-term fix that doesn't bust the city of Billings charter. But as I understand it, the city of Billings is trying to do is they want to bust that charter. They want to bust that charter that ties them, that prevents them from automatically raising your property taxes. And they're hoping that they can get the state to say, okay, we really want this property tax relief. We'll allow you to bust your charter. Don't let them do it. You tell your Billings area legislators, don't let them bust your charter, because you're going to end up like Missoula, where they're constantly jacking up your rates. The state will come in. It'll be like that Paula Abdul song, one step forward and two steps back. Because, you know, that's what Missoula is going to do. The legislature, when they deliver, if hopefully they deliver on property tax relief, they're going to still figure out a way to raise your property taxes, keep them high, right? And the message to the other legislators around the state, Democrat and Republican, is don't let the city of Billings tell you that, oh, you can't give property tax relief or we're going to have all these problems. Call their bluff, call their BS, and deliver property tax relief. This is an 80% plus issue. Don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, big town, small town, whatever. Deliver the property tax relief. Get it done. The deadline is here. And I would say the same thing for income tax relief as well. Because you know what? When I get that income tax relief, when you get that income tax relief, the city of wherever and the county of wherever can't come back and say, well, we're going to adjust the mills on your income tax relief and take more of it. They can do that in a lot of towns, even if the state delivers on property tax relief. Let's go to Frank in Billings. Frank, what's going on? What's your thoughts?
Yes. My father-in-law is the landlord that I'm running the place. We have 10 apartments around town. But when we get a tax rebate, we don't get a tax rebate because they consider us out-of-staters living in town. Myself, yeah. I'm not paying any taxes because all the renters are paying all those taxes.
So you'll just have to pass. So you'll just have to pass that tax hike on to your renters. Yeah. Unless it applies to the renters as well. Good point. All right, we got to hold it right there. We got to take a quick break. Frank, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, by the way, you know, I mentioned Billings. If anybody's going to be at the big RV and boat show in Billings later today, I'm going to be set up from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., and it'd be great to see you guys. Come down and say hi. I'll be there with our friends from Brett's RV and Marine from 3 to 6 p.m. at the RV and Boat Show at the Metro later today. And I'm really excited to see all the new toys they got lined up. By the way, pre-tariff prices, because if tariffs end up impacting some of the components, you know, a lot of these campers are made in Indiana, but some of their components might come from other countries. But they told me all of this is going to be pre-tariff prices. So prices are, you know, have gone down since the COVID craze. So good time to buy right now and check things out. Let me get to this. Hey, big news on the political front. Judge Dan Wilson, he announced that he is going to be running for the Montana Supreme Court once again. You know, last year we got a new Chief Justice, Corey Swanson. It's kind of cool. Corey Swanson announced his run for the Montana Supreme Court right here on this show. And then he won his Chief Justice race. Well, yesterday morning, it was early in the morning. The press release went out about 8 o'clock in the morning. But Judge Dan Wilson joined me for our Montana Talks podcast for the exclusive breaking news that he will be once again running for the Montana Supreme Court. But I was talking to him about, you know, this whole idea that, well, you know, there's some good judges out there. Not all these judges are bad. And then I was like, wait a minute. I started thinking about that. I'm like, well, there's some good judges. It's like, shouldn't they all be good judges? I mean, it's kind of like streetlights. If a third of the streetlights weren't working, would you say, and there's car wrecks everywhere, there's chaos in the streets, well, there's some good streetlights out there. Who cares if a third of them aren't working? There's some good streetlights. So that was the backdrop of this.
They all should be good judges, and thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show, Aaron. It's always a great pleasure, and I do have some exciting news. I am running for the seat that will be opening next year by a retirement of a current sitting justice on our Montana Supreme Court. So I am in for a penny, in for a pound. Last year I ran an election and raised a campaign that was so overwhelmingly positive experience for me. And for the supporters that I met, I couldn't be more excited to announce that I am running again. And this time we're going to put it over the top. We have great campaign team put together. We're going to have great support. I'm really excited.
I'm glad that you're not only getting back into the fight, but you're getting back into the fight early to start raising the resources and start building the momentum now, because so many candidates, you know, they'll run for statewide office. And then they may not run again because they'll say, oh, well, I came up short. But look at, I,
There was a point where I think maybe it was in the 2020 election, and you look at every single statewide candidate that won a statewide office here in the state in Montana. I think I went back and looked at it, and every single one of them had previously lost a statewide office, but they went back after it again. So I'm very excited to hear that you're going to go back after it, because I know, man, people really just appreciated your insight, your demeanor, and just your adherence to the Constitution when they got a chance to meet you and hear more about you on the campaign trail.
Well, and you've highlighted really what is the main challenge. They say that Montana is a small town with a really long Main Street. And what that means in practical terms when you're running a statewide race is that you really need to get your name out there. There's only possible to meet and talk to so many people face to face. You need the word to get out, the word to spread. And that just takes a lot of effort and a lot of time. And there isn't always time in one statewide race to get it done. But we're getting a head start this time. We have a head start going into it with last year's experience. And I'm really confident that my name is out there, a good impression is out there, and we're going to put it over the top.
Well, yeah, and I think you can build on the name ID that you had, that you built up in the last campaign. What I appreciated about your campaign in 2024 is, you know, I first saw you on the campaign trail. I was in Malta. And, you know, we were doing this show. We were, you know, interviewing some local hunters in Malta and, you know, kind of talking with folks. And there you were. You were making the rounds across northeast Montana, which is sometimes called the forgotten corner, because sometimes people running for these offices, at least in the past, not so much anymore, they would just ignore rural Montana and places like northeast Montana. And so, but and you get out there. You don't just hide out in the bigger towns along the interstate.
Well, and you make another good point, and that is eastern Montana is vital, not only because it's sort of our heartland, it's where our ag community is centered, but it's where common sense resides. And eastern Montana is not a fickle place. There are people that work hard year after year, raise their families, hope that their kids can stay in the state. But the idea in eastern Montana is we want common sense people. We realize there's always going to be conflict in the legislature. There's always going to be conflict in politics. But we want steady hands at the helm when it comes to our Supreme Court, because we love our Constitution. We want our rights supported. But we also want judges who come to the job with common sense and not to put their thumb on one side of the scales of justice or the other. And that's who I've been, and that's who I will be on the Montana Supreme Court.
All right, there you go. That was Judge Dan Wilson talking about starting up and mounting another run for the Montana Supreme Court. Full audio on the Montana Talks podcast. Hey, if you're at the RV and Boat Show at the Metro today, I'll be there 3 to 6 p.m. Come in and say hi.